Good morning. I was talking with my brother-in-law, and we were discussing different things that you do and how long it takes to get good at it. And there's a saying that says, and I believe it's true too, you do something 10,000 times and you will be good at it. You know, whether you're a professional player or if you're a runner or whatever job you have, if you're a farmer and you go up and down that field 10,000 times, you might make it straight after a while. You know, there's a thing to be said about that, and the same thing is with music. We heard this song first today. Well, we just got to sing it 9,999 more times, and I think we'll know that song. Just like that last song that we sang, we know that one off by heart. But the good thing about new songs and about new jobs and about new texts in the Bible is that it makes you focus a little bit more. A lot of you are really looking hard at those notes and at those words and trying to make it make sense. And the words were very good, but the notes are hard to do, so we'll get better at it. It seems like I've done this when I turned 50. I think I did this type of sermon where I said that once you were 50 years old and you were over the hill. Now I'm over 60, and now this sermon is even more appropriate about being over the hill. Right, Jeff? Yep. And one thing I know about being 60 and 50 and 40 is every time that you hit those numbers, it causes you to think back among your life. Even this past year, if we've gone into the year 2020. Wow, I thought 2000 was going to be something, and now we're at 2020. I remember when I was younger, I thought, oh man, I'll never make it to 2020. That is so far away. Even the year 2000, so far, far away. And now it's even that far back already. One of the things I enjoy doing is driving. Alice and I and her sister Barb and Ron, we went down to Fargo and we had a beautiful trip, beautiful weather driving down, cold, but it's nice in a warm car. And I like to drive and I like hills. And from the top of a hill, you can look down and see the beautiful landscape. And Alice knows if there's a good bridge, I'll even detour to go over that bridge just because the view is so nice, especially on the way back again and maybe over again and so on. One of the things I remember about my childhood is when I was around 13 years old, and my dad would have been 43 years old in Gretna. I remember in the front lawn, I challenged him to a race, right? Which son doesn't challenge his dad in different items on strength or a race or trying to figure out something? And I remember challenging my dad to a race. And he was in a good mood because he said yes. He wasn't the kind of guy that did this very often. And so we lined up and, the usual thing is seniority says he gets to say go. So I started off a half step behind him. And I beat him. And I didn't beat him by a little bit. I beat him pretty good. And I figured, well, he must have been just letting me go. So I challenged him again. And he says, sure, let's do it again. And same rules applied. This time he cheated and got about three steps before I got going. You know, because dads, they have that prerogative. And anyway, I blew past him again. And I was feeling pretty good. And I looked back and I saw this guy standing there kind of out of breath. And I felt kind of sad for him. You know, because I looked at him, I'm going, man, it's going to be kind of downhill for this guy after this. And that's the way it is, I think, when you hit all these milestones in your life. Now, I know that life isn't over when you turn 40 or 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 or 90 or 100. And I've been given advice from a lot of older men in the church who say that my age now is the best to be at. They said this 10 years ago and they said this before, but this is supposed to be my best decade. Ed and I were just talking about that this morning, about going down to the States. And Ed says, enjoy it now because someday it's very short, you won't be able to do this. You still have your health and you also have some experiences behind you. And hopefully you've learned something from those experiences. So ages 50 through 70 are supposed to be the most productive years of your life. And I want to thank those older men in the church for sharing those experiences with me and giving me different perspectives. Now, I look back at my life a lot differently than I did years ago. So life can be about perspective and how you look at it, whether you're going up the hill or whether you're going down the hill. And I thought this morning would be a good time to review our perspective on life, because we're starting a new year, 2020, which is another acronym for eyesight. Having good eyesight is somebody who has 20/20 eyesight. So my theme this morning is for God to give us good eyesight in this coming year of 2020. When you read a book or listen to someone else comment on something, it helps to give you a different perspective when you hear their views on it. And sometimes it's even good to listen to someone who has a completely different view on you, because sometimes we are stuck in our own view and we don't want to open up. We don't even think about somebody else's view. I actually like to listen to different people who have different perspectives and ideas. It causes me to reevaluate my own belief, and I would encourage you to do the same. When we sit down at potluck at our church, I encourage you to sit with someone else than your usual group. But remember, when you're sitting with those people, you learn only if you talk less and listen more. It might be best if you just fill your plate up a little bit higher so that you can talk less. But good vision isn't necessarily come from seeing things from 1,000 different perspectives either. A fly, I learned, has 4,000 lenses in its eye, and they can detect motion very well, as many of us know when you're trying to slap one. But with 4,000 different perspectives, a fly has a real hard time focusing on one thing in particular. And sometimes a singular vision is better to focus on things. One of the things that makes people so blind today is that they are focused on so many different things and so many of the wrong things. As a result of the fall into sin, Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God says that their eyes were opened, and they were. And they began to look and stare at things they had never looked at before, from a different perspective. One of the things that they looked at was themselves, and they became self-conscious. Their eyesights shifted from looking at the world from God's perspective to their own perspective. They realized that they were naked. It makes you wonder, didn't they realize that they were naked before? And I believe they did, but I don't think they thought about it. They were happy with what God gave them, and they weren't worried about how they looked. But that wasn't the worst of what happened to our eyesight. When God came walking into the garden, Adam and Eve looked at him as a scary intruder instead of a loving creator. They saw him differently from the eyes of sin. And so do we, even as Christians, as Andrew alluded to this morning. You have a full-time job. You can pay your bills. You may have a spouse. You may have some money in the bank. Your children are well-behaved and respect you. And then you get sick the day before the concert, the day before the Christmas play, the day before the Christmas party at work, and something happens that you can't go, and you say, why is God doing this to me? You know, I practiced, I prepared, I did all these things, I thought I was doing well, and then this happens. So really, what are you looking at this time? You have a God that took on flesh and died on the cross for your sins. He didn't ask you to pay anything for it, not a dime. He does it all for free. And then you look at your classmates who have such better athletic ability, who seem to catch on to whatever the teacher is teaching without any effort. And you see the farmer down the field, he got his crops off just like that at the right time, and you're still waiting for yours. You're wondering, how come the boss at work gave so-and-so a raise and didn't give you a raise? What's going on? Why do they get all the gifts? What about me? What are you looking at? It's not complete blindness, because we still see Jesus as our Savior. But our glasses definitely get dirty from time to time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, we read, "For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." Lord, forgive us for looking through life and our circumstances through these dark glasses. It's so much worse when we see the way our unbelieving society looks at things today. They are refusing to acknowledge the two genders that God gave us and be happy with the differences that God made humanity. They are refusing to see marriage as a gift from God between a man and a woman, and sex as a sacred act between two married people. Infants in the womb are now just called a lump of cells. What is this but blindness? What kind of hope is there for people who believe we came about as by accident and our destiny is nothing more than to feed the worms in the ground? How can society, with so many things going for it, so many discoveries, be so blind? We are living in a spiritual dark age, and it's only getting darker. But really, this shouldn't surprise us. The Bible tells us it's going to go that way. With his perfect and divine eyesight, everything is happening exactly the way Jesus prophesied it would be, through his perfect eyes and his vision. But we can't give up reaching out to people in 2020. God can break through the darkness. He can restore our eyesight. This has come up several times. We've been talking about Balaam, the soothsayer who was on his way to curse the Israelites at the request of Balak, the king of Moab. As he was on his way, he was blind to the angel of God who was standing in the pathway to kill him. Only his donkey could see it. So the donkey kept stepping off the path, and Balaam kept beating his donkey. Finally, God revealed the angel to him, and he realized how blind he was. Later on, when Balak asked him to curse the Israelites again, Balaam said in Numbers 24, "The declaration of the one who hears the words of God, who receives knowledge from the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who is falling down, but his eyes are wide open. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob, and a scepter will rise out of Israel." Balaam probably didn't realize the depth of what he was saying or seeing at that time. But now we do. The Messiah was coming out of Israel and has come. Think of Paul on his way from Damascus. On his way to Damascus. Jesus had confronted him with a bright light and caused him to become blind for a couple of days before he realized that he'd been blind the whole time. He thought that Jesus was a phony, a fraud, until Jesus showed him that he was truly the Son of God. Then Paul could finally see the truth. He saw 20/20 only after Jesus had blinded him, and only after Jesus had restored his eyesight better than it was before. Thank God for spiritual eyesight. We believe that we are holy in God's sight through our faith in Jesus Christ. We believe that by accepting Jesus Christ and coming forward to be baptized, that then we are covered by the sin, by the blood of Jesus. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 18, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God. Who would believe this but by revelation from God? God's word changes how we look at ourselves profoundly. 2020 doesn't scare us because our 2020 vision is from God. And as dear children, nothing can separate us from God in this new year. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 39 says we are more than conquerors. And I'll read that. Romans 8, 31 to 39. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is then the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or the sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Now in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ, love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Demons or hell can't separate us from God. Death cannot separate us. Sufferings can't do it. The devil wants us to get angry with God and abandon him when our lives are not going the way we want it to go. But instead, we refuse to do that. Through these troubles, we grow closer to him and pray all the more. We don't measure God's love by how rich or how poor we are in 2020. We don't think that our good or bad health means that God is happy or angry with us. We say to ourselves as Christians, if God was willing to come into this world and live in human skin, be staked and hung on the cross for me, and give me all this free of charge, then I'm pretty sure that God loves me. You can see that plainly, can't you? God also promises us through his apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Isn't that quite the promise for this new year as well? God won't give you a little bit to get by. He blesses you abundantly, not with everything you want, but everything that you need. Why? So that you can abound in every good work. God opens our eyes to who he is and what he does for us. We could never see this without the word of God. Isn't that a game changer for how you look at the year 2020 and how you see the world around you? If God is truly in control, and he is, and if I'm fully forgiven, and I am, and if God is truly generous, and he is, and if God loves me that much, then what am I worried about? What do I really have to be disgruntled over, or even under the corruption of sin? If God is taking care of everything that I need, then I can take time to take care of others as well. If you're worried about what the new year will bring you, ask God to clean your glasses and look back to the Word. Sometimes we can't find something because all of the clutter that is around us. We may need to declutter our lives from all the worldly distractions to find our way on the narrow path. As the times get darker around us, we have a spotlight that we can use to shine out the truth. You can't help but think that we are given a great opportunity to show people something different, something brighter than what the world is teaching. Think of Jesus. When no one else would take time to spend with the Samaritans or the tax collectors, Jesus did. He saw them as souls that needed to be saved, as the one out of 100. He saw the thief on the cross as someone who was repentant of his sins and needed forgiveness too. He saw the Word of God not through the eyes of the Sadducees or the Pharisees, but through the eyes of God. He preached it as it is. He opened up people's eyes to himself as the Messiah. When he died on the cross and rose from the dead, he became a great beacon of light and salvation for the world, and he still shines today. We know this through the Bible, through his Word, and it is our duty to study it and to know it well in 2020 so that we can claim it and we can freely share it. When we do this, we will show other people Jesus as a source of salvation, and that they too can see that light of salvation that Jesus Christ gives us. They will want to be baptized. They will want to share the Lord's Supper. I remember about 15 years ago that I was having a hard time singing out of the hymnal. Many of you would probably still say I have a hard time singing out of the hymnal, and some songs this morning are harder than others. And the optometrist said, and he was kind of laughing, he says, I told you you'd need bifocals. I almost hit the guy, you know, like, come on, I'm not that old. But when I got those bifocals, man, was it great. I could actually read what I've got written here. If I didn't, I'd be standing about here. How would that be? It's a wonderful thing to all of a sudden have your vision back again. It makes me thankful for my glasses. Without these, I wouldn't be able to read hardly anything unless I was standing that far away. But it also reminds me that I'm not the way that I used to be. I'm getting older. It's also easy to lose sight of the light in this world. We are focused and pointed on so many other things so that everything becomes blurry around us. Like that fly, we are directed to look at the world through 1,000 different lenses. We are being taught that every perspective that someone has is right. Everyone can have their own idea of what's right and wrong. And we have no right to judge them on that. We can have 60 different opinions in here, and everyone would be right by the world's view. Man, I'd hate to have a house built by you people with 60 different versions of how that board should go up. It would be very interesting. And that's something about the potential problems that we might face this year. What if we lose a loved one or lose our jobs? What if disaster strikes? Look at that airplane crash already we've had this year. Those people thought they were going home to a better place. Some did. Isaiah 63, verses 8 and 9. We hear these words. In all their distress, he too was distressed, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. In any distress that might come our way, God will be with us. He will rescue us and carry us through even the worst of times. So how does our knowledge of God's grace and goodness for this new year affect our plans? How do we look ahead with anticipation in a God-pleasing way? We can put all our dreams and goals into the Lord's hands, just like we heard last Sunday from Stephen and Joanne. We are given this advice in James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will do this, or go this way or to that city, spend a year here or there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. And as we look forward with anticipation, we recognize that it will only be God's grace and only according to God's will that we will make our plans. And that experience allows me to stand you before you this morning and say with this with confidence, in good times and bad times, God is with us. As his children, we tell of all the good things that he has done for us. In the past year, in 2019, we enjoyed his love and his grace and his blessings. We have enjoyed his word. He has been with us through everything. He has felt our pain and our sorrow, and he's been with us through our joys as well. And we can look back with appreciation. We also look forward to 2020 in anticipation. God will be with us again this new year. He will provide with what we need, both physically and spiritually. He will comfort us in our pain and sorrow. Today we can celebrate God's grace, grace that moves us to look back with appreciation, and grace that allows us to look forward with anticipation. God's word is your glasses. It keeps you focused. It shows you who you are as a sinner. It clearly defines sin. It makes a clear distinction between right and wrong, but it also shows clearly who Jesus is and where forgiveness is found, on the cross. And the Holy Spirit opens our eyes to see the truth found in Jesus Christ. We look around and we see our world going from dark to darker, and their conclusions in the world go from bad to worse. And under the guise of wisdom and foresight and science, they focus on this, then they focus on that. So many misleading things, even about what you eat. Last year they told you should be eating this. The year before they told you should be eating that. This year they tell you should have this. The study they did before was wrong. This is a good study. They can't even tell you what to eat. How are they going to tell you what to do with your life? 20 years from now, they will claim that they were foolish for saying all the things that they said we should be doing. In the name of progression, they will claim that these are the dark ages. But their standards always change. They keep changing where the goal is, because they have no light. They can't see anything without the glasses that Jesus can give them. Now more than ever, keep your eyes on the Bible and on Jesus, where God clears everything up. Keep reading and praying so that you have 20/20 eyesight in the world this year in 2020, and that you are not deceived by Satan's lies. God, give us 20/20 vision, so we can keep focused on Jesus and stay in the light. Amen. Shall we stand for prayer? Father in heaven, we thank you that you were with us in the past year, that though sometimes we did not know it, and that we did not appreciate it, you were beside us. You guided us even though we were not searching you out. Lord, bless us this new year. Help us to follow your word, to seek your truth. Help us to do what is right. Help us to learn what is wrong and stay away from it. May your Holy Spirit guide us and teach us your word. Throughout this new year, there will be deaths, there will be births, there will be sickness, there will be joys. But Lord, we have a constant knowledge that you are with us in all these things. And you will be with us until we come to you in heaven. Give us that comfort, and we thank you for that grace. I ask you to be with those who are in mourning, that they would be comforted. Be with those who are ill, that they would also be comforted in your word, Lord. Though sometimes our illnesses may not be cured, though sometimes bad things will happen around us, help us keep focused on the truth. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.